Welcome to Season 6 of Game Design Unboxed on the No Direction Network. Danielle Reynolds talks to tabletop game designers about the games they've made. Together, they unbox how the game went from inspiration to publication.
Allplay has some new small box games for pre-order coming out in late May, early June. If you're someone who's going to Origins Game Fair like I am, you can grab a copy there. It'll be its first show, it's debuting. So what games are we including in this? There's Ruins, a fast-paced card-crafting shedding game from John DeClaire, where you use transparent cards to power up your hand as you explore mysterious ruins. This game in particular, I am the most excited for because I actually learned about it back when we were both special guests at Grand Con last year. So check that one out, but also check out Oddland. That's a game where you explore a strange, uncharted island by laying overlapping tiles and documenting bizarre wildlife, each with its own unique scoring conditions. And then there's Vegas Strip, where you expose a corrupt casino using hidden info, bluffing, and bidding. With 20 different casinos, each with a unique power, every play is going to be full of so many different surprises. Last but not least, we have Money, a Reiner Knizia cult classic returning. You get to bid, swap currencies, and build sets in the sharp, quick, fast-playing game of economic strategy. So check out all these games, as well as all their other games, tables, bags, and all that good stuff at allplay.com. Thank you for joining me, Danielle, for Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication, episode 115, Piles. Today, we are joined by Cameron Ring, the co-founder of Lost Boy Entertainment, as well as a co-designer on this game that we're about to talk about. Thanks for being on the show, Cameron.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. To get started, for anyone who doesn't know you, mind talking a little about how you became a game designer and co-founded Lost Boy Entertainment?
Yeah, Lost Boy Entertainment started with a game called Plunder, A Pirate's Life, which was a big box gateway board game. It's kind of like Catan and Risk with pirates involved. And we made it as a passion project, me and my two cousins, kind of in that beginning window of COVID. And when it sold, we decided to print more. And when they sold, we said, maybe we'll make another game. Pretty soon, Lost Boy Entertainment was born. By the end of the year, I think we'll have 10 games on the market. So it's very exciting and it's still very new.
Wow. Congratulations. 10 is a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, we started big, proper board game. But since then, we've done card games, mainly family-friendly party games. We've done an outdoor game, a whiteboard game. We even have a drinking game. So we kind of have no rhyme or reason. We just make whatever comes to mind.
Very cool. And it's all of you co-designing together for each idea, or do you kind of split off and divide and conquer?
It depends on who's got an idea or maybe who's got a concept that they want to further. For example, Plunder was just the product of wanting to make a more Americanized Euro game, kind of a Catan-style game that has more combat.
Ameritrash, as they would say.
Ameritrash, exactly. We love games like Catan, but we were getting very frustrated that there were not more of that type of game. We're very much light gateway gamers. So that was Plunder, very much a group effort. My cousin Corey comes out and goes, I think we should make a redesigned version of King's Cup, which is a classic college drinking game, and we should make the best rules and come up with new ideas. And then, you know, a couple years later, I go, hey, I've got this idea for a wacky card game. So it's really any one of us can come up with an idea, and then we take it and we run with it.
Oh, that's awesome. So then how did you come up with Piles as a team?
Yeah, so Piles was a very quick idea compared to some other ones. So I grew up with these guys playing games on the deck of cards, carpet, you know, playing speed, playing spoons. Those types of real-time, you know, no turns games have always been something we really enjoyed. There's an old game, it goes by a lot of names, but there is this old game with a deck of cards that is very similar to our game Piles. Some people call it California Speed or James Bond or something. And I was like, wait a second, there's something here that could be much bigger. And so I took that mechanic and I brought it to my team and I said, I think we should make this a game for not one-on-one, but a ton of players, and we should add a wacky theme. That was pretty much it. A couple days later, we came up with this idea of laundry, of clothing, and made it all the way up to 8 players. Then it was just about the art and the rulebook and the general look of it, but we had it pretty much based off of just that one mechanic, we were able to build an entire game.
Explain to everybody like how you set up the game, how do you play the game, the rules.
Yeah, Piles is a matching and sorting game. We like to say we made doing laundry fun.
Oh God, I wish that was fun. I have laundry on my bed right now I gotta take care of.
Exactly. I've got the chair that I stare at that's just filled with clothes. So it's a very simple game. You either one-on-one or all the way up to eight. You're essentially trying to turn piles of cards into four of a kind. Let's say it's a one-on-one. In front of each of us is six piles of four cards face down. And then you have the same thing in front of you. And then in the center are four more cards. When the game begins, those four get turned face up. And then it's a race. You are trying to get four of a kind. Four of a kind is the exact same article of clothing in four different colors. So for basketball shorts, for leather jackets, for socks, for beanies. And we try to trick you. They are the exact same shape. So we've got ankle socks. We've got tube socks. We've got this type of t-shirt, this type of button-up, and essentially you're just picking up a pile, trading cards with the center, placing the pile back down. When you get four of a kind, you put your pile face up, and the first person to have all six piles face up wins the game.
Cool. So kind of a speed, but with a memory element.
Exactly.
Did you do much like changing through the development of the game with those rules, or is it pretty much like, hey, this is it, and you just had to make art and you're good to go?
We had the mechanic and the way the game would be played pretty instantly. We did a few small tweaks. For example, we say you can only swap a single card at a time. If you're looking at it, you can understand what I mean. Like sometimes all four of the cards you need end up in the center, and we didn't like when people would just dump one of their hands into the center and then scoop from the center. So we said only one at a time. And then, you know, we added the clothing that kind of trips people up and looks very similar. But yeah, like you said, it was very quickly we understood that all we need is this main mechanic, and that in and of itself is the full game.
Oh, that's super impressive. And was the goal, because it sounds like as a studio, you kind of just, hey, we have this idea, we run with it. But like, how do you pick which ideas you run with to self-publish?
Well, we playtest the heck out of everything, and then we bring it to our friends and family. And if we see them genuinely having a good time and asking to play it again, or I show up to some sort of family event and they go, hey, did you bring that prototype again? We kind of know we have something on our hands because we are constantly playtesting. And unfortunately, constantly playtesting things that they don't have fun playing. And we go, ah, oh, geez, like maybe we'll scrap that. But yeah, it really just comes down to, you know, what feels like it would be a good fit for our studio. What is something that, you know, we could market well, that we ourselves would want to play. I think that's a big part of it, is if I don't like playing it, even if perhaps there's a type of gamer or an audience out there that would like it, I myself don't really have that inspiration to still go and make this full game. And like I said, we're very light gamers. And so when we prototype another light game, it usually gets to the top of our pipeline because it really just fits our wheelhouse and the type of things that we want to bring to our friends and family.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I tend to work on a lot of similar kinds of games. And for me, they tend to play a lot faster. So playtesting is a much faster process, because you might have like a few of these. I'm guessing the gameplay is like, what, 15 minutes or something, maybe less?
Yeah, like 1 to 2 minutes per player. So very fast.
Oh, damn. Yeah. So like right there, it's like you could just play that like five times back to back and you have five new playtests, or just like bring a bunch of those kind of lighter weight games. And then you could test like eight games in like 3 hours on a Friday night and just bribe everyone with beer and pizza. I know that's what I do.
That is exactly right. Especially when it comes to like, you know, our games with like prompt cards that you have to read and there's all this text, we are absolutely bribing with beer and pizza all the time. I'm sure a lot of my friends are sick of it, of me begging them to come and playtest some half-baked game that might never see a shelf. But we're very lucky that we have a small network of people who do look forward to trying out new things and being brutally honest with their feedback.
So do you find most of your playtesters are your friends and family, or do you go outside for more playtesting feedback?
Yeah, everything is friends and family. We are too small, I would say, to be sending it to like the professionals. But we trust our little circle. We also will make them play other people's games and just bring a fresh game. We're the type of people who like to bring a new game to every game night. You know, by doing that, you get to see what else is out there and some of these wonderful games that get released every year. And that makes it so we can keep everything we do, technically speaking, kind of in-house. I feel like the feedback is really good at that point. At first, everyone was too nice, but now that we have given them enough games, people are starting to be, you know, honest with us.
I mean, that's cool that you're having people play other published games, so that way they can give feedback and be like, well, comparatively to this, like, it sucks. Or like, oh, actually, I like this better than this other one that's published.
Yeah, 100%.
I do a lot of testing with non-gamers or like really light gamers, where maybe Catan is the heaviest game they've ever played. And I find that they tend to have not as big of a vocabulary because they don't know what mechanics are. They don't really always know how to say why they like something or why they didn't like something. So being able to have more games to reference definitely helps build the vocabulary.
Absolutely. I mean, we were the same way. We made Plunder. Full game, you know, in its entirety. And then later I realized, oh, it's an area control game with resource management and a little bit of engine building. I did not know what any of that was. It's interesting how quickly the vocabulary has grown as we learn more about this really interesting world.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you think it was from inspiration of the game to it actually being published?
Piles was about a 2-year process. Most of our games are a year to 2 years, which is a bit slower than a larger studio. And we have sped up in our recent products, but it's usually about 18 months altogether. And Piles, a lot of it was the art, picking the correct clothing, finding a box, a theme, and then, yeah, then production obviously takes another 3-4 months. And so about 2 years for Piles start to finish.
I would actually say that's pretty standard from design to like finish it being out, if not longer. So I wouldn't say big studios are doing it faster than that.
Well, a lot of them, they tell us they release, you know, 20 games in a year, and we're pumped when we release more than one in a year. We're getting there.
That's fair. Nah, they're just simultaneously working on multiple games, but each of those games are still about that 2 to 3 year mark, I would say. You're lucky if you get something out in a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool, though. And what did you think that was like really special about this design in particular?
Piles has, from the beginning, been different because it doesn't require language. There are lots of card games, obviously, are independent of language, but that was our first one. And seeing the, I wouldn't call it overnight, but Piles really quickly, because it launched like right before Q4, so it had a nice Christmas boost. But seeing the amount of people who either were playing with young children that couldn't play most card games because there's math involved or a lot of tough stuff, or playing in different languages, or playing with an assortment of non-gamers and gamers alike, and then posting about it or sending us messages was really exciting and inspiring. And we didn't realize it at first because we hadn't figured out kind of the marketing yet, but we really didn't know what we had on our hands with Piles at first because it just to us was, you know, our next game. And the Lost Boy games, we say they take like about a year to kind of really manifest and hit the scene, you know. And Piles was about half of that time, and maybe even less. Yeah, it was a different game because people love the one-on-one. People love playing with big groups. People love seeing how quickly they can finish a round. Can they finish a round in under 2 minutes? And let's play 3 out of 5. Let's play 5 out of 7. And we go to conventions now. And we can teach it in 30 seconds and be playing a minute later. And we just see, when people get it, we just see it click and the light turn on. And then they beat me at it. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to teach it to them and then they whoop me because it's that easy to learn. And that has just been so fundamentally different from, you know, our proper board game we made, our whiteboard games, which are much more hands-on. And it's been really special because of that. And now it has become our best-selling product by a large margin. Seeing that happen mainly organically has been a really wonderful experience.
What is your typical process for like marketing a game?
Lately, we're big on social media. My background was in a lot more proper ad sales, data science, you know, business analytics, and staring at spreadsheets and tinkering with ad spend and whatnot. And really that, call it traditional marketing. But when we got more into the board game world, I was like, obviously we need to be on social media. And then we caught the TikTok wave and the Instagram Reels wave. But really it was the proper marketing and the marketing strategy has been POV playing the game. It might sound obvious at the time, but it was game changing because instead of a video of describing how to play the game or unboxing the game or talking about the low price of the game, all we would do, sometimes there's not even dialogue, is film ourselves. You know, we're wearing one of those like necklaces that holds a phone camera, film 10 games, that's 10 videos in a week, and they blew up. I mean, they shattered our numbers of our other games where we were doing much more traditional. What little money we had that we were going to spend on Amazon ads or Google ads, we just moved into kind of social media marketing and really caught that short form wave. And our videos, our Piles videos are 2.5 minutes and people watch a large chunk of that video. So then we get really good metrics and it's not about followers anymore. It's just about pure reach. And so, yeah, our marketing really lately has been short form POV, just playing, not even explaining the rules, just getting right into it.
Yeah, I learned about your game when my friend who is on Instagram was like, hey, you want to try this thing? And then we ended up not playing it because she invited too many people to game night and we had too many people to play it. But I at least like had seen the box when I talked to you guys at Toy Fair. I was like, oh, yeah, like I've seen this game before.
It's so funny. We started going to conventions and we were still so new to it and only had, when we first went to conventions, we had like, I think, 4 games. And it was all about, I keep talking about it, but it was all about Plunder. And now we like switched it up. We're all about Piles. Big pink banner. For those listening, the box looks like a box of candy. Pink and yellow and blue. Bright, bright colors. And now people at every convention, they walk up. They go, I've seen those TikToks. You know, I saw a video and now I know how to play. Will you play with me right now at this convention? Like, I've never even held it, but I know how to play. You know what I mean? Like, that's really cool. And a lot of people who just have, you know, stumbled into a Piles video, just they just remembered it. It really sticks in people's minds. And that's been really exciting.
And do you have like a favorite and a least favorite experience of working on the game?
I guess my least favorite was we had a brief scare because one, it is based on, you know, one of those like classic card games that just kind of floats around. And we didn't want to seem like we were ripping it off or that we were lazy, I guess. But we could not find any game that had ever used this style. And so we were like, we have to have a fun theme that separates us enough. And we really got scared because we were months into laundry and art and themes, the box and all these things. And we were like, laundry's boring. We need to pivot to something else. The game was called Laundromatch and it looked terrible. And we really got scared. We were thinking of like, what's a cooler theme? What's a more dramatic theme? Do we need to add extra elements to make it this, that, and the other? And it really kind of held us up and just put the scare on us. That was the worst part. And also when the second worst part was that the game arrived, we bulk ordered, we didn't do a small print run, we right off the bat bulk ordered, and then we sold about 3 units in the first like 2 months. And so we were like, oh God. So those were the worst parts. The best part was when we figured out the marketing, because that's been 2 years, not even 2 years, it's been out for 18 months, but that was night and day. We figured out how to market it, boom. And then it just took off from there. And then during development, the best part was turning what was a classic one-on-one card game. The first time we played with 8 people and we all had a blast, that was when the gears started turning and we were like, we've got something here. And so that was probably during the pure development, the most exciting part, getting a big group of people to sink their teeth into it.
Oh man, yeah. I'm sure you must have been like, oh God, why did we choose clothing? Clearly no one wants to deal with laundry. No one's buying this.
We still get people walk up and they go, laundry, huh? And we're like, just play it. Come on, give it a try.
I mean, I personally am a fan of wacky themes. I enjoy something that's out of the norm. So I would have given it a shot.
I appreciate that.
Had I been walking by. But no, that's so great though that you guys are able to crack that like marketing strategy and figure out how to get people to start playing it.
It's new for us because at first we just made games left and right that we just wanted to. And now we're kind of like, hold on, like, for this next game, is this going to be that same type of marketing? Like, will it just sink into our pipeline? And or do we go, you know what? No, like this is going to have to be more traditional. Amazon, Google, Facebook, those types of ads. That kind of dichotomy, it changes a lot of our strategy now. Because obviously, if we like a game, we want to make it. Whether or not you can POV TikTok it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, if it's something that does kind of fit into our style, because people kind of know us now for our social media style. If we've got something like that, we may as well add it into the rotation, you know?
Oh, I like that. And do you have any like pieces of advice to other designers that might be working on somewhat similar games? Like maybe advice on how to take a classic gameplay and make a new product?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that even though Lost Boy is kind of all about our marketing now and, you know, our kind of POV style. I don't think that's what should be like the, not the inspiration per se, but that shouldn't be what you are making a game for. Like the game, like just, whether or not a game can be easily marketed on a social media app is irrelevant. My advice is at the end of the day, it's all about, is the game fun and do you want to play it? And that's kind of what I said at the beginning is we ourselves make things that we have fun, you know, sitting and playing. And perhaps that's obvious, but I do think sometimes there is a crop of games that come out and I think they're more for what they think people are going to think are fun, or they like, maybe they themselves don't find it fun, but oh, you know, like that target market will love it. Like, I don't know, for a small studio, it shouldn't be like that. It should be about, is this good? Is this different? Is this new? Is this exciting? And when it comes to taking older mechanics or kind of classic elements, I don't feel like you have to hide that fact. You can lean into it. We admit that Piles is based off of classic card games, but that we were inspired by those and turned them into something brand new. I don't want it to seem like we're shy about that fact. You know, like we get comments all the time like, hey, isn't this just James Bond? And we're like, kinda, like, but James Bond is only two people. And James Bond is boring, and James Bond doesn't look that. It's just a deck of cards, you know, and that's okay.
And James Bond clearly doesn't do laundry. It's why he's in the same suit all the time.
That's why he's in the same suit, exactly. I think that name must have come from, like, kind of the code names thing of, like, all these games that were about, like, espionage and secretly conveying information and stuff. I think that's where it came from. That's my best guess. But yeah, that's my advice, is love what you do. Make something that is enjoyable and feels good, and then just put it out there and don't trick people into buying it. I know that's kind of silly, but like when you're marketing it, it's not about that it's on sale. It's not about even shelf presence. It's not about that. It's just about, are people going to have fun and get to elevate their game night? You know, that's all it is.
Cool. No, I love that. And do you guys have any other games that are coming out that's going to elevate some game nights?
Yeah, absolutely. We are. That's a great pivot. We're about to release a game called Burst that we're really excited about. It's got that feel of it's more like a traditional card game, like on your turn, you play a card or you draw a card. It's got kind of a Uno feel. It's got kind of like a classic card games. And it's really exciting. It's 3 to 6 players. Got a really good look to it. Burst is coming out in a couple months. You can stay tuned. I think summer will be when we really are pushing it out there. I'm really excited for that. And then we have an outdoor game coming up. It's technically out now, but this will be its kind of first summer. And that's when, obviously, that's the outdoor game Christmas. And that's called Kangaroo Toss. So stay tuned for that. Very different from board games, but a lot of fun, very outdoorsy. And then later in the year, we have a game called Detonate coming out. I won't say too much else about that one, but also very excited. Another new kind of world of games we're dabbling in. Oh, and one more game coming out in June is a game called Robo Rumble. And that is our return to a more proper board game, dice-based robot fighting game. Very exciting, but very straightforward. Robo Rumble around June. So stay tuned for that one.
Sounds like you guys got a lot going on.
We're staying busy. We're busier than ever.
Is it become all of your full-time jobs, or is this still like a side gig?
It is the full-time job now, yeah.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, we're a three-man team, family-run, just making family games for other families out there.
Noted. So this was a Sesame Street episode. Family would be the word of the week.
Exactly. Except for our drinking game, but, you know, that's different.
I mean, you could do that with families. I just like older cousins. Exactly. And aunts and uncles. Yeah. You still can do it with family.
Actually, that's true. And it is a relatively clean drinking game. Like, we tried to make it something you could play with anybody. Waterproof cards, beer-proof cards. And yeah, we have all sorts of different games that, like, honestly, we have no rhyme or reason as to what we make. But that makes it fun.
Oh, I love it. Well, then awesome. For my last question, if you could have designed a game that you did not design, which game would you have chosen?
So I love kind of the older 1v1 battleground games. And so the two I'll answer with is Stratego. I think, even though it's been around forever, but I think Stratego is such a wonderful game. And a lot of games have come out that kind of use Stratego elements, and they're great, but there's nothing like classic Stratego. I think it's World War I is the original theme, which is crazy to show how long it's been around. And then there's a game called Hive. I adore Hive, and I wish I came up with that game. It's so wonderful. But yeah, one-on-one type of strategy games like that, I adore.
Wow, those are very different games.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, Hive is a really fun game where it's like different insects that have different movement patterns and stuff. If you're a two-player abstract nerd, definitely check that game out. And I have not played Stratego since I was a kid, so I barely remember how to play it. It's been around for a reason.
Yeah, I used to play the Lord of the Rings Stratego. That was the first one I ever played, and those are just a combination of two loves. So it got me when I was young, and I stayed hooked, you know?
Nice. I love that. I mean, that's why we keep making these things. Hopefully you'll catch a few people while they're young.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you to everyone who's been listening to this episode of Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication, episode 115, Piles. And thanks again, Cameron, for being on the show. You mentioned that you guys have social media and stuff. You want to plug some of those links and where people can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on Instagram at LostBoyEntertain, and we're on TikTok at Lost Boy Games. And yeah, you can just type in Lost Boy Entertainment and you should find us.
And then I'm your host, Danielle Reynolds. If you're trying to find me on social media, I have an Instagram, I have an X, I have Blue Sky, all under Token Gamer, spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R, as well as a website, DMR Creative Group, if you want to check out the games I design. But this was awesome. I enjoyed talking with you, Cameron, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you everyone for listening, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you for joining Danielle for another episode of Game Design Unboxed, Inspiration to Publication. If you'd like to hear more great gaming podcasts, check out NoDirectionPodcasts.com. And if you're looking for a great board game, bag, playmat, or table, check out All Play at Let'sAllPlay.com. Join us next time.